Last month, we spoke with Leland Melvin, a former NASA astronaut and engineer who was also drafted by the NFL, although injuries forced him from the game. We spoke after he wrote a scathing open letter to President Trump on Facebook, after the president called football players who took a knee during the national anthem SOBs, Leland's point being words like SOB lead to violence. But then he dropped this bombshell.
I have friends that have been raped and attacked. I have actually been raped before.
Well, we wanted to hear more about what is a new chapter for Leland, activism. And he joins us in the studio. Leland Melvin, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. It's great to be back.
We should mention you are author of the book Chasing Space, An Astronaut's Story of Grit, Grace, and Second Chances. And you wrote about this in one page of this book. What happened to you? What were you talking about?
Well, you know, I was a young kid in a small town, and I was kind of coaxed into an environment where these, you know, people took advantage of me sexually.
These were older kids.
Older kids. And
you were five.
Yeah, and I was this young, little, naive, impressionable child, and that act happened. But the first thing that I could think about was, you know, my father just really, and the retribution that would happen with him going after these guys and killing them. And I have friends that don't have fathers, and I saw my father being taken away. I saw that whole thing playing out in my head, and I just like, wow, you know,
as
I want my dad.
Yeah, as a five-year-old, that was your thinking, I can't tell anyone.
Right.
So you had to grow up seeing these older kids and keeping the secret.
Right. I had to help protect my family because, you know, my dad was like, he was the rock.
Yeah. And that's how you viewed it. You couldn't afford to lose him. But on the other hand, you know, secrets will kill you too.
True.
So what made you decide? I mean, you're a NASA astronaut. You know, as you said to President Trump, you're looking back on the Earth from outer space. You're part of that community now that comes back from outer space with a completely changed perspective about humanity.
Right.
As you explained to us, you worked with Russians in the International Space Station. You see us not as divided people, but as united people. When did you decide, I've got to also talk about this other thing?
When I was writing the book, you know, I really weighed heavily on, should this come out? And my dad is no longer with us. And I felt, if I do this, will this help other people? Because I know that there's so many people that this happens to, and their life changes after this act. And I want them to see, you know, this book, you know, you see my dogs on the front cover and me smiling and happy. But
we should explain that. You are the only NASA astronaut whose official picture is with your dog.
Right.
Your fabulous dogs, your late dogs. But go ahead.
But it's something that you can overcome this with the right support, with the right help, with the right community of people helping you. And I just want everyone to not fall into those dark places because they hold this shame inside of them that maybe it was their fault or I was the bad person. And if I had not just put myself in that environment, if I'd walked away, if I'd run faster, if I'd hit him or, you know, whatever the case is for that individual, then we'll have more productive citizens in our world.
Well, that's how you felt. You felt guilt and shame, felt like a sucker for allowing it to happen and regret for not fighting back hard enough to stop it.
Right.
You thought it was your fault.
Yeah. But I was able to channel, you know, through other things like working hard and sports and all these other things and putting that behind me to not let that keep me from, you know, keeping me down.
But it sounds like even becoming a NASA astronaut isn't enough to make it go away. I mean, you can't get higher than that.
Well, you can, but
well,
no.
<what? laughs>
But it's the purpose of that page is to let everyone out there know that it can happen to anyone.
Yeah,
I think we all can rise from that. And you know, I have a friend, Amanda Nguyen, who had this happen to her at Harvard. You know, right around the corner from where we are now. And she started an organization called risenow.us to help pass legislation. I mean, civil rights legislation that people can join and be part of this movement to overcome these things like what was happening with Weinstein.
I want to talk more about Harvey Weinstein and your thoughts on that. But so you've spoken about RISE and this legislation. Just finish that thought first.
Well, one of the biggest problems is that the rape kits can be destroyed after a short period of time. And I think what Amanda and her team are trying to do is to ensure that, you know, all the evidence that is needed to prosecute these assailants will be readily available for the police or for their attorneys or for...
And there's a backlog of thousands of rape kits across the country in cases that haven't been examined so they could be used in cases. I mean, there are women waiting. So there's a huge problem with rape kits. So there's that, and you're a part of RISE. And you're also a part of Makers Women. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a way to showcase women doing these incredible things like Gloria Steinem and Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama. And so they had myself and the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, Russell Wilson, be indoctrinated as the first Makers Men and be part of the dialogue around abuse towards women, around abuse towards really anyone.
Well, that brings us to Harvey Weinstein. How have you felt as you've watched this? When you first wrote your letter to President Trump, that's what we were talking about, your sense that language matters, that you call somebody an SOB, that means something, and that jeopardizes women, that kind of language. Here we have Harvey Weinstein with an audio tape that's chilling.
Right. I think that we, you know, we allow these things to go on because the power structure has always been, you know, white men running organizations, and the expectation is if you don't do what I say, you can get fired. And I know that we're getting more diverse organizations and people are embracing diversity because the most elegant and beautiful solutions come from the most diverse team. But, you know, these things have been entrenched for so long, and this power, this money, this influence, and these women wanting to be in movies and television, and it's reprehensible.
And it seems to be absolute power corrupts absolutely, as they say, and it doesn't discriminate. I mean, you have all the charges against Bill Cosby.
Right. Right.
As well. So you've stepped forward and you've addressed this in your book, and it really, it just is a wallop, you know.
But I didn't mean to shock you the last time.
Oh, no. It was appropriately so, you know. But the other thing we take away from your description of it was really stunning. You were five, and you say that now certain things can still trigger that day.
Right. I remember when I used to come back from college and I was you know, looking around the neighborhood and would see certain things and it would kind of trigger that, oh my goodness, that happened. And maybe I wanted to go, you know, more quickly go back to school to just to get away from that environment.
The smell of a gasoline can.
The grass. But, you know, it was a day that I saw the assailant and I had forgiven him. I had forgiven him a long time ago because I saw that he had children. And I just hoped and prayed that his children weren't taken advantage of like that by him. And I think time heals all things, you know. And if you have that support and that community around you to help you get through that tough time, then you have to make sure that other people can get through it too.
Well, it's interesting you talk about and you write about in the book, again, seeing the assailant, one of the assailants, years later, and you're talking on the street. And you're not sure if he's repressed it, too. I mean, maybe
probably he has. I mean, I'm sure he had, because he would have been really embarrassed to come up on me like that, just like nothing had happened.
Well, but do you ever worry that maybe you should talk to him about it or should tell someone about him?
I did think about it. I'm
still thinking about it.
Still thinking about it.
Yeah. That's Leland Melvin, author of Chasing Space, an astronaut story of grit, grace, and second chances. And there's one page. It's quite gripping. He tells of being raped when he was 5 years old, a story he's now sharing in the hopes of helping women in particular, but everybody tell
everyone.
Their stories.
It's not just women. It's everyone that have had these things happen. And I think it's even more important for men because there's probably even more shame with men because they would never say it because they would feel, like I said, feel like a sucker. Like I could have done something. And I think we all have to be responsible for helping everyone come through these types of things.
Leland, thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Here and Now.